Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville in the O-Town, Eric Bickle in Kensington, and Jason Bishop in the great state of Virginia, where you can still play golf. Where are you playing today?
Stonewall.
Are you certain that you could still play golf? I think you can, right?
I'm relatively certain. I've talked to some people in the golf business here in the state, and they said
You're good.
After yesterday's presser, yeah. He didn't say anything about excluding golf.
All he did was extend what he had previously, you know, had going until whatever the date was, right?
Yeah, he extended the lockdown date for those, I guess, non-essential businesses from April 23rd to May 8th.
Right.
And then, of course, the stay-at-home mandate still in place till June 10th. But, you know, maybe things get better and they can lift that. But, no, I think golf is still good.
I had a feeling that you might be in trouble, that people might – because, you know, we're all big into shaming people.
Yep.
But I do think – and I know you could play golf safely – with four people in each in your own cart, and everyone just kind of get out of your own way and just play.
Yeah. So today we'll be given two carts, so two will drive, two will walk. But I was talking to someone in the business, and they said that they've noticed cops coming to the course in Virginia lately.
Monitoring, right?
Monitoring, taking pictures. Yeah. So when he told me that, I said, oh, well, that's definitely getting back to the gov if they're noticing, you know, groups of, you know, more than 10 people just hanging out. But
I think they're going to get you if there's four people and you guys are too close to each other, like on the green. Right. That's where it's most likely to happen.
Yeah, if you're high fiving your buddy for draining a 25 footer,
you can't do that.
Definitely can't do that.
And if he sees you golfers out there, and I love to play golf, but I'm trying to set an example for my kid and stay home and just do the right thing. But if you're out there playing golf, you bet you're jeopardizing it for everyone if you guys are riding in carts together or anything like that.
No,
I don't think
no,
any golf course would even let you at this
but
point.
But if my partner makes a 25-footer to win a hole and we win an ass off,
you're going to say, nice job.
I'm going to dap him up. I'm going to probably give him a big hug.
Oh, my God.
No, you're doing a bit.
Yeah.
You're clearly doing a bit.
By the way, Pedro and Deporte is texting me during the break. This is how old we're getting. So, you remember Mike the Banker called up about the WNBA mock draft, right?
Yes.
By the way, we are going to do our own WNBA mock draft.
Oh, we are? Who has the first pick?
Maybe tomorrow. You have the first pick. You're going to represent the New York Liberty.
Okay.
But anyway, at number 7, this is ESPN's WNBA mock draft. Number 7, the Dallas Wings select Bella Allery out of Princeton, Mark Allery's daughter.
Mm. Nice.
Where did she go to school? Did she go to Sidwell? She local?
I don't know.
99% sure she's local.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. Yeah.
Does Mark Allery live locally?
Yes.
Does he really? Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, if you just said
she's going to be a top 10 pick.
If you just said name the Dallas WNBA team, there's no way I would have pulled Wings. They're the Dallas Wings.
Are they spicy wings? Buffalo wings? Are we talking mild? What sort of wings are we talking about here?
Be their mascot.
I like mild. My kids mock me.
I like medium.
Wings.
I don't need like scorching hot, but like a medium buffalo sauce is pretty good.
I like
good.
Mild with a hint of the buffalo sauce. You know what I mean?
And of course, you dip it in ranch. You don't dip
them. No, I'm
in
a blue cheese.
You
guy.
Don't dip them in the blue cheese.
How do you? Because you're not
with the big chunks.
You're not a cheese guy, Cakes.
Certainly not a blue cheese guy.
By
no,
the way,
thank you.
When we did our Cava order, we didn't choose to go this route, but they have like a family meal option.
Okay.
Where you can get like just all the ingredients, and that, you know, and you just do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we each did our own thing, and my kids, they Cakes would never do this. They're putting feta cheese and all that.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
If you go, you won't put any cold cheese, like shredded cheese? You don't do that, like on a salad?
I can do shredded. I can, like last night we had chicken Caesar salad.
Right.
And I can, of course, do shredded Parmesan cheese in a
Caesar salad.
Chicken Caesar salad. Yeah, of course.
Why can you do that? Why is that?
It's just
the
it's
texture?
The consistency of the cheese. Like if it's in shredded form, I can handle it, but I can't handle like just a
block?
Hunk of cheese or a cube of cheese or a slice of a single. It grosses me out.
You got to be in the minority on that, right? I'm guessing.
I'm a salmon swimming upstream on this. Understand that I'm the black sheep here.
I'm guessing 98% of the country loves cheese.
I'd say 99.8% of the country probably likes cheese.
Cheese and sugar, what else is there?
Well, 100% of this country loves sugar.
Right.
Undoubtedly.
Right.
99.7 or 8 love cheese.
JP, are you still under your weight pre-pandemic? Hopefully not.
Yeah, I was like 4 pounds under yesterday.
God, that's
it
so
varies,
annoying.
So it's,
he weighs himself every day.
What about you, Jason?
Not every day, but ever since we did the on-air bit, like I checked that day, and I'd had 2 bowls of cereal and like at least 1 granola bar, and I was surprised that I'd gone up. So probably during the pandemic, I've probably checked 3 times.
I've checked Zippy. All I know is there's more jiggle when I run up the steps.
I haven't
You're jiggling, baby.
Days.
I'm jiggling, baby.
Old school LL Cool J. Yeah.
But I mean, I've been walking more, long walks. Yesterday I did like an hour-long walk pulling Isabella with a wagon, hoping
I kind of sleep
fall
on
asleep.
Walks and sort of their fitness level, but you know, and how that might help you. But when you did that story, you kind of got me.
I mean, if you walk for an hour, it's maybe not the same as running for an hour, but it's significant.
I guess it is. I always just mock that, but I guess it is.
I mean, I did like an hour walk, and I've been running like every other day. Shout out to Chris Farley over at Pacers because I got a shipment of new Brooks Adrenalines yesterday.
Ship it.
Oh, no,
he didn't send any to your boy.
Well, your boy has been running like 25 miles a week.
Right.
Yeah, he's putting in the work.
All you need is socks.
I don't
go anywhere.
No. I've been biking lately because I stopped my running because I just don't want to run by people anymore. I'm tired of seeing people.
When you're biking, are you wearing a brain bucket or are you risking it?
No, I'm in my gym.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a helmet in my stationary bike.
Yeah.
That's a good bit.
I thought you meant you were biking through the Inkton.
No, I'm just doing 45 minutes. That's all I can handle. Do you think that's good for you? I mean, obviously you don't burn the same amount of calories that you do when you're running.
It's good.
Do you think as good for you as walking? If supposedly walking is good for you.
I'd say probably better.
Should be better, right?
You may be having more vigorous exercise.
I mean, hopefully. I'm drenched in sweat. I put it on the random, and that's after 45 minutes, I'm literally drenched.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always just think it's not as good as running because running, you burn so many more calories.
Yeah.
But, I, again, I'm freaked out by people. This is just the sucks. Nuh-uh.
You're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Bick, Bella Allery went to National Cathedral.
Right, National Cathedral School. One of his daughters or something went to St. Andrews, and I think one of them, I think he must have a rack of kids. I think he may have had one that went to Sidwell. I'm just talking out of school, but I think so. He's a great guy.
We had Mark Allery on the show. What year was that?
Probably at least 15 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say longer than that. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Cool dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's definitely local. But
he's from California, I believe.
So his daughter, where did she go to college?
Or maybe Arizona. She went to Princeton.
She went to Princeton.
Yeah.
Right. So she must have been a beast. Where's that kid?
Oh, yeah.
Where's that girl from St. John's going, right? That's supposedly like best one in the country.
Is it Azzy Fudd?
I don't know her name.
I think that's right. Are legitimately doing a WNBA.
Pedro's pulled his pants off at home.
She's a high school chick from St. John's. She was the best player in the country her freshman year, and then she tore her ACL. Was that her sophomore year when she tore it?
Yeah, I don't even
know.
Anyway,
she was considered the number one player in the country as a freshman.
Right.
But I'm not sure. Pedro would have to tell you that.
You know, Pedro did, during his update, he mentioned that all signs point to the Redskins drafting Chase Young. We've been talking about that for a while, but Keim had an article on ESPN.com where he rated the probabilities, and again, it was. The Redskins, more than likely, if you read all the tea leaves, you talk to all the people, he's a Redskins insider, they're just going to draft Chase Young.
Right. That's what I think they're going to do, too. But if I was running the organization, I'm either trading down or I'm drafting Tua.
Trade or
pick.
The
trade
open
down
for business.
Was a low probability. He rated that. And the drafting of Tua basically, he said, was a no probability.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I'm just telling you what I would do.
Yeah.
Right. It sounds like Tua's stock is sliding a bit. I mean, I've seen a few mocks that have him dropping to 9 to the Jags.
Well, they're worried about the injury. That's the whole thing.
You should be worried about it. I mean, if he comes in with an extensive injury history in college, it's only going to ramp up in the pros.
I bet you he goes inside the top 6. I'll bet that right now.
I mean, I'm not willing to bet it. I mean, every jerk in a basement has a mock draft
at this point.
So who knows how accurate? They're not accurate. They're just grasping.
I
wouldn't be shocked to see him slide 9 or 10.
Well, what Miami would have to – if the Chargers really want Tua over Herbert – then that's what Miami has to worry about, is the Chargers jumping them.
Cakes, do you agree if Tua had 0 injury issues, 0, I think the Redskins would take him at 2. I think the only reason they're not taking him is because of the injury.
I think they would lean towards it. They would have to strongly consider it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I don't like punting a guy after one season.
I don't
like that. It's just a waste of a really valuable resource in a first-round pick. But I would have to consider.
He's a bigger prospect. He's been one of the bigger quarterback prospects in the last decade.
Right.
Before the injury factor, it was all about tank for Tua. Right.
But I would always be wary too of picking a quarterback in the top 10 because the flameout factor is super high. I mean, miss rate is just so high. I'd worry even with a guy that you're pretty sure about.
But you know what your miss rate is if you have a bad quarterback? 100%.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You're spinning your wheels. I understand. Yeah. You got to get that guy in your building.
Let's go real quick. Let's go to line one. Let's go to Larry in Tyson's. Larry, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
What's up, guys? I've been a listener since the HFS days, man. Love you guys.
Thanks, Larry.
I just wanted to weigh in real quick. I'm a recovering opioid addict. I was literally doing 400 to 500 milligrams of oxy every day for over a decade.
How did that start?
It all started with, just like most people in America, a doctor. I had nut cancer in my early 20s, and
right.
They put me on a boatload of morphine, and when it was time to get off of it.
Don't curse.
My bad, guys. Yeah. But, so, you know, you end up doing it because you can't function without it. So what I wanted to tell you guys was, as crazy as the amount of stuff was in his system, like, he probably wasn't as jacked as everybody thinks, because this is the deal. Once you become an addict,
yeah, it takes
your brain
more.
No longer functions like you guys does. Like, you need that stuff just to feel normal.
Yeah,
and
right.
Once you do it so much, it's almost impossible to get high anymore. Once your brain has made that transformation, you have to do so much. What happens is you just end up getting sick. You don't get high. You OD. So
how did you get off it?
Him, truthfully,
yeah.
Goodwill. I got hooked up with a really good doctor, got on this medicine called Suboxone.
Yeah.
And then I weaned off of that. And
you've been good?
3 years. Yeah, it took me 3 years of really, really trying and a lot of support. But
do you have cravings?
Today. I'm clean, guys.
Do you have cravings?
Oh, of course. Any actor tells you they don't, it's full of it.
Right.
For that decade, for that decade, were you gainfully employed? Were you able to maintain a job and a good income?
See, that's the thing. I'm a married father. I have three kids. I'm 38 years old, guys. And I did this from, you know, like I said, almost a little over a decade, from my early 20s through my mid 30s. And
yeah, that's crazy.
I didn't let it get so deep that, like, I lost my family or I was pawning stuff to support my habit. I was more or less a functioning, you know, drug addict.
Were you taking it every day?
Oh, every day. Every day, Lurch. I would wake up, sniff 2 or 3 30s, and then every hour on the hour, it would be like that throughout the rest of the
day. How much was it costing you? We got to go to break because we got a guest coming up next. We got Martin Rogers. But just in 10 seconds, how much was it costing you?
Between $400 to $500 a day.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
How'd you have that kind of dough?
I can't get into that.
He was stealing.
You're probably dealing drugs, right, to make it?
Something like that.
Yeah, right. I get it.
I mean, that's over $10,000 a month.
Yeah, so he was dealing drugs and then using the money to get his own stuff.
Dealing
I get it.
To support the habit, you know?
Right, and then
high on your own supply. Breaking every rule in the game, you know?
Right.
But, yeah.
All right, well, listen, God bless you. I hope that you are clean, and I hope that you keep it up, buddy. Thank you. All right, when we come back, we got Martin Rogers. He's a Fox Sports analyst. Talk about the NFL draft. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. Junkies going to be live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington this Thursday morning. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Fox Sports analyst and writer Martin Rogers, and we're going to talk some NFL draft, but I got to tell you, I was intrigued by your article about qualifying for the table tennis team in the United States, and I guess you used to be a semi-pro table tennis player?
I mean, long time ago in a different life. About 20 years ago, I played for the Australian junior team. And tried to qualify for the Olympics this time around, just more for the experience and the story. Table tennis is the only sport in the U.S. where literally anyone can enter the Olympic trials. So I thought, why not give it a go? It was good fun. And, needless to say, I didn't make it, but it was a great experience.
You didn't make it, but you actually won at least one match, right?
For sure. Yeah. I can still play to a decent level, and you know, because of the open nature of the event, you know, you have a lot of players who just want to take their chance and to take the opportunity to give it a go and say that they tried to qualify for the Olympics and sort of rub shoulders with some of the top players in the country. So it was cool. I had some sort of colleagues from Fox Sports that have come along to watch as well. It was local to me in Santa Monica in LA. And, so the Olympic dream didn't completely die. It was cool.
Now, Martin, a couple of us, our prime was about 30 years ago. We used to have battles. I just want your take on this because I know in your article you talked about how the technology had changed a lot. Maybe you can get into it. But one of my favorite paddles back then, and I know it's illegal, was a sandpaper paddle. What's your take
on that?
That's
not allowed these days, JP? That's verboten?
No chance.
No, look, you probably wouldn't get it. They actually have special tournaments these days for like old style sandpaper paddles. But if you tried to use that in a regular tournament, one, you probably wouldn't be able to because of the rules. But two, if you did, you'd probably get completely destroyed anyway. It's a different game. The modern technology with the rubbers is unbelievable. It's sort of, I don't know, it's almost like a trampoline effect. When you hit the ball, it propels the ball at incredible speed and incredibly high spin. It's kind of like in tennis. If you think about the technology today with the rackets that Nadal and Federer use compared to what, you know, Jimmy Connors and John McEnroe were using 30 years ago, it's kind of like that, and it's had that similar effect on the game.
All right, so, Martin, we wanted to get into the NFL draft with you. Obviously, the NFL draft is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be unique, a virtual draft. Guys are going to be at home. Do you think it's still going to be as entertaining for fans to watch?
I think it really depends on the mindset of the fan, if you like. I think if you're the kind of person to sit there and be like, oh, look, this is going to be different to normal, and as a result of that, it's going to be terrible, then sure, you're not going to get anything out of it. But I think we're all changing, aren't we? We're all sort of adapting to these times. And certainly from my own standpoint, I'm appreciative of the things that are giving it a go and trying to adapt and trying to find a way to get things done despite the realities and the necessities of this time that we live in. And of course, it's going to be incredibly different to normal, right? There's not going to be any glitz and glamour and any big fancy venue in Las Vegas like there would have been. There's not going to be Roger Goodell there on a stage shaking hands and getting booed by everyone and all that kind of stuff that we've come to expect and enjoy. But it's still a draft. 255 players are still going to be selected. You know, fans around the country are still going to pin their hopes and dreams to a certain extent on some of these players, some of whom are going to become superstars, many of whom are not, some of whom probably won't even play a minute in the league. But I like it. I think in a way it's kind of cool. Like, I play fantasy football. In some ways, these GMs maybe have to deal with some of the realities that we have to deal with every year. Spotty internet connection and you know, distraction, the dog barking in the background and all that kind of stuff. I love that idea in a way. Look, would you want it to be this way every single year? No. But for a one-off, because in the necessities of this time, I think it's great. And I think more people will watch the draft this year than ever before. Because, hey, what else have we got to do?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. And I hope that we're over sort of the shaming thing where we're going to shame the NFL for doing this in the middle of this pandemic. Look, the fact of the matter is we have to deal with this, but life goes on. So I'm also glad. I know all the guys are glad that they're doing this. And I'm with you also where I love the idea of seeing, you know, some of these guys in their basements. I want to see what Jay Gruden's home office looks like. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a voyeur in that way. So I'm going to love that. My question is, how is, like, ESPN and NFL, the NFL channel, how are they going to handle it? Because some of these broadcast news networks, they have a lot of their anchors broadcasting from home, but they do such a great job with their lighting and their cameras and everything that you can't even tell. Like, they're doing an amazing job. Are they going to have that? Like, it might still be amazing. Or are they going to do a deal where they have Kuiper and whoever's doing it with them, like 6 feet away and still in the same studio? Do we have any idea how it's going to be covered?
Yeah, I don't know 100% on that. But here's the thing: the places, and this goes for sports organizations, and this goes for broadcasters and everything, the places that thrive or at least survive during this time are the ones that show the greatest level of sort of innovation and adaptability. And obviously the people who are doing the right draft are professionals who know how to roll with the punches, right? And it's not different. It's not the same as normal, and the fans can't expect it to look exactly the same. But as ESPN have shown, and as we at Fox Sports have shown, you can still put on a really good show. And is it just about the lighting and the backdrop and all this kind of stuff? No, it's about the quality of the people you have, about their knowledge base, and if they know what they're talking about. And obviously, you know, you'd expect for something like the NFL draft that there would be. And you can't expect it to purely aesthetically look the same. But is it going to sound the same to a certain extent? Sure. You know, obviously, a lot of the draft stuff isn't just live. There are packages that are put together ahead of time that involve key players and stuff like that. And I'm sure that part of it is going to be even more important this time around. So, look, I think, honestly speaking, I think the difference part of it is something that we'll get used to within the first 5 minutes. And then it'll just start to kind of feel normal.
We're joined by Martin Rogers from Fox Sports at MRogersFox on Twitter. Check out his article on foxsports.com. This unique virtual 2020 NFL draft is still the draft we know and love with a fantasy twist. I know I'm looking forward to seeing Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants, sitting at number four, struggling with technology. He gets goofed on by all the analytical guys. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm also looking forward to seeing if Tua slips. You know, there's buzz now that he could fall out of the top five, you know, down towards 10 or 12, and maybe the Raiders try to move up and get him if the slide begins on him. So I think even though we're going to be thrown off by the look of this draft, I think there are still some good storylines. There are going to be some fun things to watch.
100%, there's some great storylines, like there always are. And honestly, what you said at the beginning, like about Gettleman or whoever it is, there's probably going to be something like that, right? There could be some kind of, you know, technical mess up, or someone does something a little bit different how they normally would, because they're not in that comfort zone of being in a war room surrounded by a huge team of people. They're just there, separated in their own houses. And look, that's what I am so intrigued by here, because this is the reality of modern life, right? Like, hundreds of thousands of people across the country have to deal with this kind of thing, dealing with things at home, working from home, as opposed to working from an office with the safety net that that kind of provides. So in that way, the NFL draft, it's a kind of nice, refreshing thing to know that the NFL, for all its money, is not untouched by the same kind of thing that everyone else has to go through. In terms of storylines, yeah, absolutely. I think Tua is going to be the overwhelming storyline of the draft, because literally anything could happen. You know, you could see someone just have take an absolute flyer onto just sort of mortgage their future to move up and get him. Because here's the thing, it's a sort of player who has the ability to be a transcendent talent, and then there's all these red flags and sort of risk factors that involve the injury that he had as well. So I think he could land in a number of different spots. He could land in a high position, not going to go number one, could land in a high position in the top five, could also drop significantly, as we've seen. And when quarterbacks start to tumble, as we've seen it in the past, you know, sometimes it's a little bit of a free fall. But I think the Raiders are a very intriguing one. They're a team that wants to make a splash. Remember, they were linked to Tom Brady just purely, but for no other reason. People are like, oh, they have to make some kind of big impact. Now, getting Tua would be a pretty good way to do that, wouldn't it?
Now, you mentioned Tom Brady. You recently wrote about an unburdened, unshackled Tom Brady, now that he's left New England and Bill Belichick, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's a different person in some ways, I believe. New England and their way of doing things, it's had incredible success, and you can't argue with it. You can't argue with the methodology of it. And Bill Belichick, as we've seen, is clearly the alpha male at that club. People said, oh, was it Brady or Belichick, or was it Robert Kraft? It's Belichick. He's the one who survived. Tom Brady's the one who has left. But Brady is unburdened by it now, unburdened by the realities of life at the New England Patriots, where you kind of have to tuck your head in and play the dutiful servant to the team and say the right things and all that kind of stuff. He's a personality. We haven't seen all of that personality for the past years. And now I think he's enjoying the fact that where he is at Tampa Bay, they want him to be the biggest figure in American sports. They want everything he says to make, you know, headline news. That's what they're paying for, in part, right? That's why, part of the reason why you take a risk on a 43-year-old quarterback is because he's someone who can not just elevate the play of your team, hopefully, but can elevate the status of your franchise. That's why, it was no mistake that he went on Howard Stern. It was no mistake that, you know, that interview was done with no filter. There were no questions that couldn't be asked. He's keen to make a splash. He's keen to step out of the shadow of Belichick and the Patriots organization. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Tom Brady is a more interesting guy than we give him credit for. I think he's ready to really sort of play the star role, if you like. And I'm interested to hear what he says about all sorts of topics.
Martin, we might have to get you on next Thursday when we do our own mock draft, which we do annually the morning before the NFL draft first round.
Why not?
All right.
Well, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks for all the insight, man.
Yeah, take it easy, guys. Have a good one.
You got it, buddy.
I think it's going to be cool.
I think it will be, too.
You know, like you're seeing, like, who doesn't want to see Ron Rivera's little war room in his house? You know what I mean? Or Kyle Smith.
Yeah, I want to see how it's produced. And think about it. In a normal year, you've got baseball being played during the draft. You've got NBA. Are they in the playoffs at this point?
Yep,
playoff. NHL playoff.
Just basically there.
Yeah. I mean, you've got all these other sports, and this is going to be the only show in town, man. I'm sure the NFL draft TV rating is pretty high.
Oh, it is.
In a normal year.
It's already
but
high.
This is going to be times 10,
and,
I think.
And I still think it's going to be awesome because I'm guessing – that ESPN, because they're still, like, when they're doing their Sports Center, a lot of those guys are still they're going to the studio, right? They're just staying like 6 feet away or whatever.
There's probably two of them. They're 6 feet apart, right?
Yeah, right. So yeah. The production value is still going to be sick, and you're just going to get probably even more access than you would before than when they're all just like doing those cameras, the GoPros or whatever, you know, of the whole war room as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they doing a combined ESPN NFL network bit?
Yes.
If you know more than me, then I don't know that.
So I don't know much more than that I've seen kind of the headlines that ESPN and NFL Network are going to combine on the broadcast.
Combine their resources.
Yeah, instead of having two separate broadcasts. So I don't know, you know, who's going to be the lead. Like typically, if you were an NFL Network guy, you would watch Rich Eisen. And, you know, a couple of years ago, it would be Mike Mayock. Now he's GM of the Raiders.
Mike Mayock.
But you would see the NFL Network guys like Steve Mariucci and all those guys doing the draft. And then over on the ESPN side, you would have Kuiper and you know, all of the ESPN NFL draft people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly how they're going to do a combined thing. Maybe they go back and forth if they're all on a set together. I don't know what the deal is going to be.
Well, is it going to be... Yeah, I don't know. Is it going to be combined? They're both on at the same time?
Like, yeah, that's, I don't know.
I don't know. Either way, it's going to be all. Maybe they're just going to have guys just commingling and working with both networks, you know, making appearances and helping out. Either way, the production value, I assure you, is going to be awesome, right? And then it's just going to be bonus, whatever you get of those guys, you know, in their rooms or Goodell in his basement. I'm assuming Goodell's going to have a crew out there. And he's going to look pretty good from wherever he's doing his bit. Because you watch some of these anchors, I don't care what network you're watching, you don't even realize that they're doing it from home. They've got a big TV monitor behind them, and the lighting is so good, and the everything that, you know, you don't even realize. But they're in a little window, so you're doing the math on it, and you're going, oh, they're probably at home.
All right, phone number if you want to chime in on anything on an open line Thursday is 800-636-1067. Coming up at 9 o'clock, EB has an announcement.
Yep. And should I do the EP?
Thereafter, we have Christo Doyle from The Dirt and Gold Rush to kind of talk about all things Discovery. I'm sure he could chime in on Naked and Afraid, EB's latest obsession.
I love that show.
So we'll talk to Christo Doyle at 9:20. Yeah, let's do some EP next.
Yeah, perfect.
Entertainment Page next. You're in the Jungle.
Zippy hearing from E Bizzle.
Can you hear the EP music?
I don't think he can.
Mr. Bickle, are you there?
He's got to do the reset.
I could go to TMZ and just start reading stories.
Yeah, you should. Let's see how good you are on the fly.
All right, see how silly I am on the fly. It's your boy Flakes' Entertainment Page.
I can hear you now, Cakes. Can you hear me?
All right.
Yeah,
we go.
I got you.
Now, I don't know like if this is Darish just being a donk or if it's my theory is it's because we've got so many different mics on now with Valdez and Drabby and the four of us. And when Pete has to do an update or somebody has to do something, everything gets all screwed up.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I think Darish just pushes a button in the studio. And
yeah, he's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Not 100%. Small technical glitches.
Yeah, I mean, Darius is doing God's work back there. You just got to, you know, put your head down and get through it sometimes.
Has he lobbied for the hero pay?
Well, he should. He absolutely should.
Let's ask him.
I hope so.
The hero pay is what? Do you get like time and a half or something? Like, what is
it? No. Remember, we did the story a few days ago. I think some Democratic senators have proposed legislation where EMTs and the critical healthcare workers would be getting additional pay. It was like incentive for them to actually go to the front lines to fight the virus.
Right.
And Valdez and Drab said that they believe they deserve in on the hero pay bill.
Well, I mean, they're driving in, risking their lives, right? More than we probably care to admit. Right?
We're essential.
Have you been following that legislation, or is it stalled in Congress, Drab?
Yeah. But you guys are back in studio tomorrow, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so let me give you some stories here. This one, I don't think this is surprising. If you had to guess, and Cakes, if you cheated and already looked, don't say anything.
Okay.
How many hours of streaming content is the average answer. American watching per day during the corona outbreak?
Well, Jason is upping that number because he's the king of binge watching. I'm going to say per day. I haven't seen the number. 3 hours a day.
Oh, you're way under.
Do you know the number?
I know the
answer. I would say it's eight.
I sent the story. You're right. You're all over it.
You
Jason.
Nailed it.
Was it eight?
8 hours of content per day.
No wonder Netflix is hitting like all-time or 52-week highs.
And I have to tell you, my wife is one of those because, you know, she's like a typical working mom. She never sits down, never does anything. But she's working from home. But then at night, because everyone, I think most people are staying up later and later, she's just watching streamed content over and over and over, like hours. And she normally never does that.
What movies or TV shows is Dina sampling?
I got her into Naked and Afraid. Oh. So she's now addicted.
Oh, she's brainwashed. All right.
She's addicted. And so she's watching. And I'm actually
Evie,
pissed at her.
That should be your role-playing bit then.
Right. We're going to go play some Naked and Afraid, right? No, she's – I'm pissed at her because now she's gone ahead and she's, like, watching ahead of me because I'm like – I'm like, it's 11:39. I got to go to bed. And she's continuing to watch, you know, because they don't have to be up at 5 a.m. Nope. Nobody gets up, you know, at their normal times anymore, except, you know, what percentage of people are driving into work? 30%? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is.
I don't know if it's that high.
Yeah. So only the people that are forced to drive into work are getting up. Everybody else is sleeping in, rightfully so. So 8 hours of streamed content per day. My buddy keeps telling me about 000. Cakes already can attest to it.
Already
right?
seen it. It's so silly.
He loves it. JP, you know what it is? Started watching it,
silly,
right?
Silly is what it is.
I'm way under that 8 hours. So it's hard to find time because I've got the toddler at home. I watched 3/4 maybe of the first episode. But I think it's 10 episodes, right, Cakes?
I think it's 8.
Okay.
So you want to hear – I'll give you my routine, my daily routine. Not that you care, but, you know, we're just killing time here. We're in the middle of a pandemic.
Correct.
So we'll do the show. I'll wind down a little bit. I'll sit – we all log off. I'll wind down, see what else is going on, and maybe I'll get into some Twitter fight with somebody for 20 minutes.
That
and,
sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's torture. I try to avoid it.
That would be worse than the pandemic for me.
It really is.
Dealing with all those idiots.
Yeah, I usually don't.
I don't know how you do it.
I usually don't, but sometimes after the show, it's just kind of like it's like after a game, I'm still like, I got adrenaline.
You came to pick a fight?
Yeah. So I'll sit here and I'll just scroll. Then I'll go upstairs and I'll eat, right? Because I'm starving.
I can't stop eating.
And then I eventually come down here by about noon and I'll sleep for about an hour and a half, right? Then hopefully go back upstairs, eat some more because I'm still hungry and I'm getting fat. Then head down, work out, and then don't know what to do. Then just kind of hang out, maybe put on Naked and Afraid, maybe start a fire in the fire pit. I like to watch the daily presser.
Right. What time is the workout generally? So like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock?
3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. And I'll stay in there for like an hour and a half.
And that's kind of when your son pops his head out, right? He's deleting his day.
That's when he's just now getting up, typically. Right.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And then he'll do like a 5-minute online class and tell me he did all his schoolwork.
Right.
And then
such a joke, the online learning.
And then he's in there playing, like, what was the game he was playing yesterday? It's not Call of Duty. Is it, like, Gaslight or something? I don't know what the game is.
Who knows?
And all he's doing is screaming and cursing for 12 hours because they keep losing and getting knocked out of their little tournament that they're in. And then you know, after dinner, I just will watch, like, you know, 3 more episodes of Naked and Afraid XL, and then I stumble into bed around 11:30. And that same thing happens every single day.
Every single day.
Nothing changes.
Right.
Don't you call my mom.
Aren't you hanging out outside when it's a nice day?
Yeah, that's true. Like, well, last couple of days, like, it was cold. So we'll go outside and I'll.
Fire pit.
We'll shoot with my son. We'll go shooting. Like, and, you know, I basically just shag balls from he shoots. My daughters will go out. We'll play a little tennis on the driveway or shoot
baskets.
But
you never really go for walks.
I'm not a walker.
With the crew.
Don't get sized for walking. My wife. Was doing like a nighttime walk thing But now her and the girls are doing workouts like during the show. So they're not walking as much.
Is your neighborhood conducive to walking, or is it just all main roads? I mean, are there back roads?
No, I live right off Beach Drive. I mean, you could.
I know you have Beach Drive, but could you just walk through the neighborhoods?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just don't. To me, I just think it's dumb.
Walk by Johnny Holiday's house. Go see Turge's house.
It's not
fun. I need
fun.
A ball. It's I need
boring.
A ball.
It's boring, but it kills time.
It does. And I guess it's really about bonding.
4.5 miles, 5 miles will kill an hour and a half. And
I'm lazy. I don't like it.
There's nothing
but
else
it's
to
the
do.
Same thing that he's doing at the fire pit. What I would say, the walk is just a moving fire pit. Eric kind of bonds with his family at the fire pit. The walk is kind of the exact same thing. You're just moving.
Well, you're not going to get my son to go for a walk. It'll never happen in a billion years. He ain't going to do it. So the only way you could get him out there is you get that fire pit going.
You might be surprised. I think.
Oh, no, I'm not surprised.
I agree. It's unlikely, but maybe one out of every five times. Because I'll go for a walk sometimes, and I'll ask my older kids if they want to join. And they have. Not every time. Probably about 25%.
No, I'm telling you, I'm 0 for 100 and asking.
Well, how about this? My younger daughter never wants to walk with us because she wants to walk with her friends.
Right.
Because that's what they do. They meet up at a spot and then they walk.
Right.
I know you're not supposed to do it, but they do it.
That's kind of a show.
And then my older daughter just doesn't want to walk with us because she does like 3 or 4 hours a day online for tech.
Yeah, my two daughters are doing a lot more work than my son who's in college.
Right.
I think the college online thing, as far as I can tell, is a joke.
You might want to ask Maris for a partial refund.
Not
for
this year.
Not for Virginia Tech, it's
Kelsey's
not.
Kelsey's a little bit like Madden, I guess, because she did over the weekend. She was on the dining room table with her books and everything spread out, and she probably did 8 to 10 hours. This weekend.
I mean, he did one. Yeah. He did spend about 3 or 4 hours doing some presentation the other day.
But
I mean,
that
was an outlier.
My middle schooler, there's no way he spent an hour in any day during this entire pandemic doing online learning. It's impossible.
I don't know if Jason's daughter's the same way, but because we have daughters that are both 17 juniors. Mm-hmm. She's working all day, every day. I mean, just all day.
That's the difference between private and public.
No, she's in public, that one.
Oh, she is in public. Well, that's the difference between your public and my public. Because she's not working all day.
Right.
I mean, I'm surprised. Actually, they're starting to ramp it up a little bit now. But for the last 3 weeks, nothing. Zippy.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
That's why she's walking with her friends all over Ashburn.
Right. I'm surprised by that. All right. When we come back, I got a little announcement.
Announcement.
Yeah. it's something I'm super excited about. But, whatever. You guys won't care.
You're really selling it.
Yeah, you're really hyping it
up. Well,
on.
I don't want to
I'm excited.
I don't want to be like Jay Glazer and say I have this huge story and then everybody attack you for saying it's nothing, right?
So setting the bar low.
Setting the bar extremely low. But then we'll get back and we'll get into some of these EP stories because some of them are really good, including people still buying sex toys on Amazon. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.